You're listening to SBS News.
Emily Shepherd has devoted her life to helping her 10-year-old son, who has a genetic disease which causes vision and hearing loss. But as a director of a charity, she also wants to help other families.
I'm committed as a parent to make sure that this organisation gets through this. Without our organisation, I just can't imagine the grief and the backward step that our community would take.
Ms. Shepherd's child has Usher syndrome, and she co-founded Usher Kids Australia, the only organisation supporting families experiencing its heartaches. But the coronavirus lockdown and the economic downturn has made that much harder.
Really, no one is donating. The economic impact of COVID has meant that people are not donating to charities, organisations are not sponsoring events. Whether they're virtually or in person. So it's taken a huge toll on us.
This small charity is run entirely by volunteers, so they're not eligible for the JobKeeper payments. Ms. Shepherd has been forced to use her own money to keep the charity going, but she's more concerned about those she supports.
It is even more isolating now, and the impact that has on families trying to deal with this condition on a day-to-day basis can have long-term mental health impacts. It impacts on the support they're able to provide to their children. It has really detrimental impacts for the future.
Usher Kids Australia is not alone. David Crosby is the chief executive of the Community Council for Australia. He says charity revenues have been steadily declining in the years before the bushfires last summer.
The bushfires, it meant that most donations were going to emergency relief type charities rather than most of the charities who don't operate in that space. So November, December, January had been amongst the worst months for fundraising for some time.
With the onset of the coronavirus pandemic, charities were hit on multiple fronts, losing both volunteers and fundraising.
We've seen well over 50% of charities needing to either lay off staff or take JobKeeper or in some way adjust their expenditure because their income has been impacted.
Mr. Crosby has praised the high level of support from governments, but says additional capital from public and private sources will be critical as the sector rebounds post-pandemic.
So we know there's a long tail to the impact on fundraising when these crises occur, because some people see giving to charities as that kind of discretionary spend that they'll do when they think they're confident about their economic future.
But the charity sector is not just hoping to increase external funding.
Lifty gaze, so it's not about us or our organisations, but let's think about what purpose we exist for. How do we go back to the beneficiary? What's our purpose? And then what does the ecosystem look like in the problem we're trying to solve, and what role do we all play?
That was Professor Christy Muir, CEO of the Centre for Social Impact. It's leading a push for greater collaboration and reform within the not-for-profit sector. That includes rethinking funding models, pooling resources, and collaborating with other sectors. But she cautions against allowing a market-driven approach to overtake core values and warns small charities are particularly at risk.
There is no market to service a kid in a rural regional area with challenging behaviour and severe intellectual disabilities.
David Crosby agrees, but he says the health crisis has highlighted just how important local communities are.
We kind of have a window now. It's not so silly to knock on a neighbour's door or knock on someone's door and say, are you interested in this, as it was 12 months ago to me. I think we're more interested in being connected, particularly locally, and that provides an incredible opportunity.